rejoice in the Lord on this Wednesday, August the 22nd, in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, and you're listening to this edition of Law and Gospel. And it is a program you can call in the St. Louis area, 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. What are we going to talk about today? Well, a little later in the program, we'd like to talk about the hymn that is assigned for this coming Sunday, Lord, Help Us Ever to Retain. But right now, we're going to speak about one of the readings from this Sunday. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That is God's word. And I'll tell you, there has been a lot of confusion over this. In fact, many a time during a marriage ceremony in the old days, you would have the wife promise also to obey the husband, and there are women now who refuse to say that. Now, on the basis of this verse, such a refusal shows that they do not understand at all what God is talking about here. And that can be, well, in some instances, pastors are at fault, because they don't clarify what this particular passage is referring to. In fact, sometimes they think that that passage also is for them as the Herr Pastor over the entire congregation. They're the ones who tell the congregation what to do, not only in doctrinal matters where there is a word of God, but in what we call adiaphora, where God really doesn't care what you do. But the pastor says, I'm the pastor, and therefore I'll make the decision. In fact, would you not be surprised, but perhaps you're in a congregation like this, where arguments are not over substantial doctrinal points, but, well, what color are we going to have the rug? Or what are we going to paint the doors? Or should we put up an extended room here? Or all kinds of issues that really have nothing to do with doctrine. And some pastors like to micromanage the church. They think that their pastoral call gives them that right to do. In our system, and that's the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, most congregations have what we call voters' assemblies, where members of the congregation can come and help decide the budget, who to call as a pastor, and so forth. I made a point when I was a member of the Voters Assembly that I never voted, because as pastor, I didn't want something going one way or the other on the basis of my vote. I would talk to the issues. For example, let's just take a very simple one. What color should the rug be? Should it be red? Should it be blue? You see, as a pastor, I would say, and give this advice, that colors represent certain kind of theological points. There's a real neat ad on Issues, etc., where it talks about that the pastor is often dressed in the same color as the paraments on the altar. And then the gentleman goes in and indicates why that's so. It's because of the seasons of the church year. We're in the season of the church year that's green. It's the longest season of Pentecost. And it's the growth of the church. Advent, Lent, they have different colors, purple and violet. Red is usually used for high festivals. White for Easter. So what color you have the rug could have some symbolism. I don't know any church that has a yellow rug, because I don't know where the color yellow fits in the church. I could be wrong. Sometimes it's close to gold, and that is a color with some symbolism in the church. But rarely is yellow used. Now, once the pastor suggests the options, it's still up to the people. He has no special view from God as to what color the rug should be. But he should give advice on it from anything of a theological point of view. Where he would be much more important is, should we go to communion every Sunday? Now, I still think the Voters' Assembly makes the decision. but the pastor would give advice as to the benefits and the detriments of going to communion every Sunday. For a long time, I thought the detriments outweighed the benefits until I took a course and I discovered I was wrong. And about 6 months later, after quite a bit of teaching in the congregation, along with the help of my co-pastor, Peter Kurowski, the congregation began to ask for communion every week. And that's what we ended up doing. But that, again, was on the basis of teaching of the Word of God and the congregation making that kind of a decision. So what has this got to do with submitting? Well, some pastors think that you better submit to him. And there are three kinds of fathers in the world. There's actually four. Because the first one we're talking about just a regular father, like a father and mother. But that could be a biological father because you're a begotten child. But if, say, your father died and your mother remarried, or you were adopted, that's still your father, but not biologically so. So those are two fathers I would think of. The third father is, of course, the government. That God places the government over us, and therefore they're supposed to do just laws, and you can get arrested if you break those laws. That's God working through the fatherhood of government. He primarily works through the fatherhood of mother and father. But then as the child comes of age, the child falls under the purview of the government. For example, if a 3-year-old is in its little wheelchair, not wheelchair, what am I saying there? A little baby chair that's going along the sidewalk, a carriage, baby carriage. And he has a bottle of milk, and he throws it against a store window, and it breaks. They're not going to arrest a 3-year-old. They're still under the purview of their parents. They may have the parents pay for it. Depends on the storekeeper. But once they get to a certain age, then the government can step in. Juvenile delinquency, for example. Now, the fourth father would be the church. Pastors in the church. So, a pastor visits a woman who just had a baby, talking to the father and mother in the hospital, and he encourages them to set up a time for baptism. And if they look at him and they say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to have this child baptized, we don't believe in baptism, and they were a member of my congregation, I would bring disciplinary action against them. Because they are forfeiting the greatest gift God can give to an infant, and that's holy baptism. I've never had that happen, by the way, because you know pretty well in Lutheranism that you baptize infants. So nobody's going to join a church. And particularly in Lutheranism, in a congregation that really understands doctrine, it's not at all unusual that a confirmation class, a catechism class, an instruction class will go from 16 to 20 weeks. Because we believe that a person should not join a congregation until they know what the congregation teaches. Because you're going to allow your child to be taught by that pastor when you're not around. Sunday school teachers and so forth. So we think that's really, really important. Well, we've got this kind of submitting to fathers. But what's this bit about wives submit to your own husbands? I always understand whether somebody is mixed up on this by asking this question. Remember, the best way to do evangelism is by asking questions, not just by quoting Bible verses. So what I would do here is I would ask them this question. According to the Bible, in a marriage relationship, who submits to whom? And I'll tell you, even asking Lutherans that question, it's about 80%, in my experience, say that wives are to submit to their husbands, which, of course, is wrong. The reason it's wrong, this is a prime reading, both in the first or the one-year lectionary and the three-year lectionary. So it only comes up once during the 3-year lectionary, I believe, but in the 1-year lectionary it would come up every month. But it begins with verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. as to the Lord. Now, for some husbands, boy, that's really good. She has to obey me as though it's the Lord. So he says, okay, today, your first trip is going to go to the store and get me sour cream. Your second trip is to go buy some paper. Your third trip is to wash my car. Your fourth trip is... Now, if he says it that way, we're going to show you that the wife has every right to say, jump in the lake. That's my first rule. How so? Wouldn't she be disobeying her husband? Even understanding that submitting to means to obey, the problem is that a lot of the readings begin with verse 22, and they miss verse 21. 21. Paul is talking to the church, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's verse 19, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Other translations read God. That's just because you have different manuscripts. One has God, one has Christ. But it doesn't make any difference because Christ is God. So once more, you see manuscript changes not change theology at all. It's just a different word. Then it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Okay, now, if verse 21 says, submitting to one another, and verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands, then don't you think there should be a verse where it talks about husbands submitting? Well, it is. It's just that the word submit is missing. And it occurs three verses later in verse 25. So once we see how wives submit to one another, and particularly to their husbands, then we see how husbands submit. Listen to this, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. In fact, later on, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. So, how can a husband submit to the wife if the wife is to submit to the husband? Well, the example that's given is Jesus and the church, verse 23. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, now it sounds like the husband has a rule over everything. But in the context of what's speaking, we're not talking about everything in life. We're talking about everything that matters to God in the spiritual realm. So, let me give you two examples. One where the wife needs to submit to the husband, and the other one where the husband needs to submit to the wife. They have a baby, and the husband says, we need to have that baby baptized. She needs to submit to him because he is now speaking in the place of God. Where wouldn't she need to submit? Well, he's on his way to work. He says, when I get home tonight, I want a thick steak and French fries. And she says, no, as you can see over here, I've got the slow cooker going, and we're going to have goulash. And she refuses to do the steak. Well, in a proper marriage, the husband is willing to give up his life for the wife. So he certainly ought to be willing to give up what they're going to have for supper. In fact, it is my opinion that if the husband and wife relationship is proper, then the vast majority of decisions the wife ends up making. I mean, if she's strong on it and she really wants it such and such a way, the husband should just say, okay, that's fine. It doesn't have to do with the Word of God. I'm supposed to be willing to give up my life for you, I'm certainly going to give up my life in this particular situation. And that's really the point that needs to be being made here. The wife to the husband as the church to Christ, and the husband to the wife as Christ to the church. In other words, which one is the servant? Christ is our servant. So the husband is to serve the wife. Now, why did God have it that way? I have no idea. I mean, he gives some reasons with the, you know, fall into sin and things like that. We could go into a lengthy conversation, but it would take longer than we have right now. The point that we are going to make, though, is God has a lot of plans according to his will that make no sense to us at all. We're not to figure God out. We're not to explain his ways. We're to reveal them and therefore think like he does. Think like he does. So I can't hardly ever remember a time when I ever had to use headship over my wife. Because she not only was Lutheran when we got engaged, but she's very strong in her faith. And I can't ever remember her saying, nope, we can't do that, you know, according to God's word. Now, the other thing I want to make is the word submit. A lot of people have problems with submission because it sounds like, boy, you're the lesser party. Jesus submitted to the Father. What did that mean? Well, in a sense, you really need to look at the Latin. Submissio. The word sub is under, like submarine, under the water. And missio, yeah, it's the word mission. God the Father sent Jesus out on a mission. And that was, according to Daniel 7, as the Son of Man, Jesus was to come to the world to save the world. And he did it by his death. Submission means a lot like vocation. We are doing what God wants us to do under our specific circumstances. So the mission of the wife is to obey the theological teachings of the husband because God has given him the authority to make what decisions are necessary in the home dealing with theology. Most other decisions, the wife can do as she desires. And hopefully in a proper marriage, they both would come to an agreement to it. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk with Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Well, hi. Thank you for this teaching. There's another reason that we are to listen to our husbands, listen to our pastors as women, because Adam was not deceived, but Eve was.
How do you know that?
The Bible says it.
You know, I bet you can't quote a verse.
What?
You can't quote a verse.
Well, it's somewhere in Corinthians, I believe, or I'll find it and call you back.
Yeah, I wish you would, because Adam was deceived more than Eve was.
He just admitted to her, I believe.
It's even worse than that. In verse 6 of Genesis 3, when the devil is talking to the woman, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
But he wasn't deceived. He knew better.
No.
What?
He was deceived because he was standing there. He didn't even say any words at all to Satan. Mm-hmm. He just ate the fruit. He was deceived as much as she was.
He just disobeyed. There is a verse, though. It says, Adam was not deceived. And I take that to mean that if my husband says something, I defer to him. I say, You know, I stand on God's promise that, you know, this is the order of things, and when he thinks something should be this way, and he'll let me have my opinions about things, or I'll ask him his opinion, but there's something that's why God makes men our leaders in the church. They have, it's like Christ is the head of the man.
Well, let me just get real specific here, because I hate talking in generalities. Are you telling me that if he wants a convertible Corvette in order to buy a car, but you want a nice van so you're comfortable in it, that you would give in to him?
Why, sure.
Oh, no. It's just the opposite. He would give in to you, because he's supposed to be willing to die for you.
Well,
your desires are far more important than his, then, from God's point of view.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that willing to die, that comes from Christ, and these are things that are adiabra, you know, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's no big deal, then the husband gives in to the wife.
Well, I mean, but as far as very important things...
Well, what would you consider important?
This country is in a mess because... Someone has told women they don't need a man to tell them what to do. This country is in a mess.
Well,
you know that, huh?
I tell you, that's almost a Todd Akin statement, that the women need somebody to tell them what to do. I don't think you really mean it. Have you ever...
No.
Let me ask you this.
God did not make us pastors. He did not make us...
No. Have you ever heard of Margaret Thatcher?
Yes.
She had to have her husband tell her what to do? I'm afraid not.
Probably.
She was...
I don't know.
No. He was not that kind at all. She was an excellent leader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about... I have no understanding why God doesn't permit women to be pastors, but it's not because they don't have the ability to lead or they couldn't teach theology correctly, but the very fact that their women are pastors shows they don't know theology. But be that as it may... I don't want to leave the impression that KFUO and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod thinks that women need people to tell them what they do. Obviously, you haven't met my wife.
I am very, very glad that we have strong pastors.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Watching over the truth of God, and that, you know, these are men like you who would stand up and
defend. But Linda, you're talking to a person who doesn't have the capability of teaching kids who are 2 and 3 years old. We had Sunday school teachers that were a lot better at it than I was.
Mm-hmm.
See, so just because I may be a strong pastor in certain areas, I don't want to give the impression here that women need somebody to tell them what to do, and that's why the country's in such a mess.
Well,
no, I think if some of the administration would listen to women... You know, and change their point of view, the country would be a lot better off. Like the pro-life position. Look at how many women are so strong in that area, and look at the majority of people who are in the present administration are pro-death towards children.
Because they have strong pastors and strong husbands teaching them, and they are submitting to the...
You know, I had some pro-life women whose husbands weren't even Christian. And they were members of the church, but he wouldn't come to church. So, you know, I just don't like talking in generalities beyond what the Bible permits, Linda. Okay?
Okay.
Well, you keep listening to your husband. Boy, I wish I was married to you. Okay. Goodbye. Yeah. No, I'm glad I'm married to whom I'm married to. Boy, that's excellent kind of conversation there. But Lutheranism is really clear. If the Word of God doesn't say it, then I'm not going to say it. And so, yes, the Bible speaks about the woman as a weaker vessel, but a lot of times that's just referring to strength. It's not talking about mental ability or anything like that. You know, we're in a situation where we're just unaware of why God makes the decisions he makes. But once he makes them, boy, I'm not going to fool around. So, women... Submit to your husband. Husbands, submit to your wife. But in the context of Ephesians, And when that happens, you've got a proper law and gospel understanding. And then I don't see any problem with having proper marriage vows. Well, I went a little longer on that than I thought. I'm not going to be able to get to the hymn for the day. And tomorrow we've got ruminations coming up, so I'm not going to be able to talk on it during that time, because we're talking on tomorrow's ruminations about a subject. We were dealing with the book of Philemon, where Paul encourages Onesimus to return to his master. And so somebody wrote, oh, does that justify slavery? So that's going to be one of the subjects we're talking about. We got a lot more emails, and if you send some to us at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, we'll be glad to take a look at that. There's a possibility we can get to the hymn maybe Friday during open mic Friday. So, Lord, help us ever to retain. If you're going to a church where that's going to be talked about and sung, you'll want to hear us. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.